Hola.
Hola.
We are Carla and Sandra, and we're going to walk the Camino from Estella to Burgos. And while we're doing that, we want to promote a plastic-free Camino.
Hi everyone, I'm Caitlin from Follow the Camino, and today we're doing a Camino talk with Sandra, who recently did a walk along the Camino, which was a plastic-free Camino with her friend Carla in 2019. And all along the way, they had a big banner attached to their backs and they were picking up rubbish as they walked the Camino to try and leave it a better place than they found it. So thank you so much for joining me, Sandra.
Thank you for the opportunity to talk about our project.
Absolutely. Now you were tweeting all along the way, so people can go and have a look at some of the pieces that you put up on Twitter. But we're just going to ask a few questions about how that journey was for you and what you learned.
Yeah, sure.
Great. So your first question, had you done a pilgrimage before you started walking the Camino with your plastic-free message?
Well, we did the first leg of the Camino in 2018. From basically Saint Jean to Estella, and so we decided to do another bit last year. Last summer we decided to continue, and the first was very different because we were like with an organized group, with the luggage transferred and accommodation booked. So this time we just used the knowledge that we had the first year, but we added the element of picking up the plastic, but that came after we booked the flights and we planned the stages. It was my idea basically to add the initiative of picking up the plastic along the way.
Very cool. And so tell us about the journey walking the Camino, the plastic-free Camino. Where did the idea come from? And were you already trying to live a low plastic life beforehand?
Well, yes. And no, well, I say me in particular has always been sensitive to environmental issues, always trying to do my best to recycle. But then last year in May in particular, I became aware that recycling is not the first choice anymore. In fact, it's not as effective as I believed. Like my beliefs kind of like crashed when I realized that there is more to recycling, because you can only recycle plastic so many times, for example, and then eventually it become a product like this that you can't recycle, you know. And I never actually thought where all this plastic was going to go, and then I started coming across information like about microplastics that I never heard before. For example, there's a short clip of a river in Guatemala. If you Google Guatemala River, you'll see it like 9 seconds, but it's like full of plastic just flowing. You know, I was in shock. Like here, we have it easy, I suppose, because everybody, you know, has to be kept in check by the, you know, government and so on. But not everywhere is the same, and that all affects us globally. You know, it's not just a piece of plastic I throw here, it doesn't necessarily stay here. It might flow somewhere in the ocean, and I became aware of the existence of this, what's it called, the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, which is the largest. It's like three times the size of Texas, but it's every ocean has got a patch of garbage. Then when last summer we were going for, you know, walks here on the mountains, the Dublin mountains, on local trails, we started noticing the plastic, you know, that there was there, like bottles mostly, or cans, which is not plastic, but we started picking up stuff that, you know, rubbish that we found along the way as we were doing the walks here around the Dublin mountains. And that kind of became like an eye-opener, because we realized that suppose we get used to seeing, you know, the bits and pieces along the road, they become like normal, and it shouldn't be. So then suppose once we planned the trip, I don't know, I just had this idea one day. I said, Carla, let's go and pick up plastic along the Camino while we're walking, and we send a message. And like literally 2 weeks before the trip started, I created the logo that you see at the end of the videos, and the Facebook page, the Twitter account, and so on. So I kind of had a lot, you know, social media set up before we left. And then we didn't know any better, to be honest, apart from that. But we chose the Camino, I suppose, not just because, you know, we've thought the Camino might be dirty or not. We didn't even know about that. We didn't know what to expect. But it was just something symbolic, because everybody knows the Camino. And even, I mean, it's respected, even if you haven't done it, or, you know, if you've done it, you love it. So it's something cherished, like the oceans or the forests, you know. So instead of going to the Himalaya, we throw the Camino and we collect plastic along the Camino and we send a message. We had planned the stages before, you know, we put the thought on how, you know, tiring could be to go and walk and pick up plastic. That's something we learned along the way.
And actually, on that topic, which route did you do?
We did from Estella, so we continued from Estella to Burgos, which is 172 kilometers roughly. Did the stages, you know, like you have on, you know, the traditional maps, more or less. And also based on the days that we had available for the holidays. And we decided to do the traditional way as well, kind of like without, you know, luggage transfer. So we brought with us whatever it was with us, we carried all the time. And then we didn't want to book places every night. We only booked the first night because we knew we'd arrive late, because we started like 4 or 5 o'clock in Estella, and then in Logroño and Burgos, because we stayed a couple of nights there. And the other places we didn't want to book. We wanted a kind of like a minimalist experience. So we actually had, like most people would have 35 liter backpack, we had a 25 liter backpack. We managed to fit everything that we really needed. Like I made a list from the previous year what I really used, you know, and I stuck to that. I brought with us the banners. I made the banners, and we found a way to stick them to the backpacks. And then also a rubbish bag, blue. It became like our mascot. It was quite sturdy as well. And then I had a spare one, a black one, just in case, you know, and it proved to be handy, because as we were walking, we basically shared the road. Like I had the left-hand side and Carla the right-hand side. And so sometimes having a bag each was handy. So that was the basics, really. Then we learned more along the way.
How did you find the walk?
Oh my God. I took notes every, you know, every evening. I kept a journal, so before the interview I looked back at my notes and I could see how my expectations changed from the beginning. I suppose initially we thought, I don't know, that people would be like, oh wow, that's a great idea, and join us. No way. That didn't happen. That was the biggest disappointment. Like there were like loads of people, they, you know, they'd say, oh, thank you very much, or, you know, in Spanish or in English, depending if they were pilgrims or locals. And the pilgrim had one reaction, the locals had another. And then I'll tell you, but basically, we got lots of thank you, you know, very good idea, you're doing a great job, everybody should do it, but nobody joined us. There was one man on the second day, he found a plastic bottle and he picked it up before me and he said, I can carry that. And then I remember another day that a man picked up a plastic bottle and gave it to me, though, as we were walking. And then there was a lady, she said, thank you very much, we should all do this. And I looked at her and I said, I have a spare bag. And she just carried on. She laughed, wow. But she continued. I was like, I have a spare bag, you know. So, yeah, initially we hoped, you know, that the thing would spread and become, I don't know, I was very naive, I suppose, but it makes sense that then I understood that everyone was on their own journey for their own reasons. And maybe they were just worried, focused, let's say, on, you know, the stages, getting to whatever place they needed to get at a certain time to get a bed. And maybe, sure, they didn't want to carry extra weight. And that was one of the things that we realized after 2 or 3 days, basically, that we were carrying extra weight that wasn't ours, was there before we arrived. And I suppose I can anticipate one of the conclusions that I reached personally was that, you know, if you think the metaphor of the Camino is like represents life journey, and we're on this life journey, and we carry our own burden, you know, and whether you travel light or not depends on you. There was loads of gratitude, you know, lots of gratitude, some admiration. Some people maybe might have thought that we were crazy, and some were skeptics maybe. And we also felt sometimes misunderstood in our intentions. Like, as I said, the locals would interpret in a different way. Like, everybody seemed to think that they were, you know, that it was somebody else's plastic, basically. Like, it wasn't me kind of thing, you know. Oh, thank you, everybody should do it. We were just sending a message for everybody to make them aware of how much plastic we were surrounded, how much we're dependent on plastic, and on, you know, and also to try and see, you know, to spread this awareness and see if everybody would adjust their behavior in every environment, not just the Camino. So that was like something that we, you know, we realized along the way how the locals, they were like, thank you, but then also trying to point the fingers at the pilgrims, you know, it's pilgrims, they do this or that. It's like, no, you would be surprised of the stuff we found in the fields, you know.
Where would you say you found the most rubbish, and was there any way that you worked out like how much rubbish you picked up?
Every time we found a bin, we unloaded the bag, because you don't know when you find the next one, and then we documented that with other photos or videos. With a pretty much a bag, at least a bag in between villages. Now it could be, you know, maybe 5-6 kilometers between villages, but for example, from Logroño till outside Navarrete, that was about 12 kilometers, and we also had one bag each by then. Because you have like an urban area, like a village or a town or a city, even worse, it makes sense to think, because there are more, there is more concentration of people, but we didn't think about it until we actually realized, but now it makes sense to think that just before a town and just upon leaving a town, that's where you find, you know, waste, rubbish, or, you know, packages, wraps and cans, packs of cigarettes, because, you know, that's people maybe in the open countryside, not so much. But what happened is that we leave a town, let's say, you know, for example, Villa Mayor, and then we start picking up, because that's, you know, the outskirts of the village. So we already have half a bag full, and we have to carry the half a bag for kilometers and kilometers, because there is no bin. If the outskirts had been clean, the rest of the walk would have been smoother for us, because there isn't much along the country road as such, to be honest. We established two rules. One was that we weren't going to clean the roads, okay? So once we hit the town, okay, that's it, that's the stop, you know. Once it becomes like a urban areas where people live, I said, we don't walk, we don't work for the local authorities and the municipality here. We're not here to clean the streets, they can do it themselves. That was beyond the point, and it was too much. The second rule was that if, like, we got up early, you know, before sunrise most morning, well, every morning basically, and so we would start maybe 6:30 or 6:45 before sunrise, and I said, well, we can't see, we can't pick up. So until there was enough sunlight to see, we had at least 50 minutes that we could just walk along the Camino and pick up a bit of pace, you know, and take beautiful photos of the sunlight, you know, of the sunrise.
And did you ever consider dropping the project at any stage along the way?
I did, to be honest. I did, yeah. Like, on the second or third days, like, I felt, I struggled. I was like, what a crazy idea I had to go on the Camino and pick up plastic as I was walking. What was I thinking about? Isn't it just better to walk on, keep going straight, wherever you have to go, look around, enjoy the, you know, the countryside? Because often, you know, to spend time looking down on the ground, I might have missed, I don't know, some monuments or ruins or views, or I don't know. Like, picking up plastic, like you said before, added a strain on the body. And that's supposed, as I said, we planned the stages first, the kilometers that set out in, you know, in the books, and then we added extra effort. which is like a bending down sideways, you know, sometimes going up on the slopes or down in the ditches to reach a plastic bottle or something else. And that not, wasn't just, you know, lots of movements for the body, but it lengthened the time that we spent on our feet every day. It was a second day I said, I'm done, I take a taxi, I finished the day. And Carla was marvelous. I have to say, like, she kept the project together in the end. She kept going. She encouraged me to keep going. And, you know, oh, come on, Sandra, don't be like that. We can, you know, finish today. But there's lots of things to say here. First of all, I had, like, when you walk with someone, you know, and you pick up a pace, say without plastic, you know, normal Camino, and that helps. Moment of struggle, when we went to, we left to Santo Domingo de la Calzada, which was, let me see, day 7, my sole, the boot of my sole, sorry, the sole of my boot became detached, like an open mouth, like that, and I had to walk the whole day with that, and then it got worse because I, you know, you have to try and keep your foot higher to avoid, you know, rubbing the sole. But then when we got to Belorado, they told me that the last shoe repairer had retired the year before, and the lady from the albergue gave me some tape, you know, the brown tape, but that lasted 2 hours the next morning. And I was like, how am I gonna do this? And then I said, please God help me. And then we stopped in this village after Belorado, 2 or 3 villages after Belorado, and I saw a string, one of those strings they use in the farms, like it's more than one string wrote together, so it's very sturdy, you know, to keep like a, I don't know, poles together. Anyway, there was this piece of string that I tied up to the boot and the ankle to keep the sole together. And the irony of all was that basically I got saved by a piece of plastic abandoned in the countryside. I know, it's just, this is the problem with plastic, because it was made to last. It's virtually indestructible, and that's why it remains in the environment for hundreds of years, you know. Like, if you think about it, the first toothbrush that I ever used is probably still out there somewhere. If it's not in the ocean and it didn't get incinerated, it's somewhere in landfill. But, you know, all the plastic that we produce, it doesn't, you know, decay like organic material, and so, yeah, ironically, a piece of string last me until I got to Burgos and beyond. Then every evening I would have another pair of sandals to wear, you know. Another moment of frustration I want to say is, coincidentally, on the first morning and the last day, that someone made a comment when they saw our banners, not nobody else, but there was this a girl and a woman. They saw I had like a big plastic bottle on the side of my backpack, and I used the bottle many times, and she said, "But you talk about plastic free Camino, but then you have a plastic bottle with you." By the end of the walk, I didn't have the energy to answer that comment. But initially, I said to this girl, like, she had one of those aluminium bottles that they sell now. To be honest, I don't know why that is more environmentally friendly than a plastic bottle that I use like 1,000 times. The problem with the plastic is also our behavior. It's not just, you know, that that it doesn't decay or become compost. It's just the we buy a bottle and then throw it away soon after. It doesn't even stay 5 minutes in our hands, you know. And I want to say to this girl, like, you I think perception of people is also what matters, because as I said, we don't see how much plastic is around us, but also this has become the symbol of the problem, a plastic bottle. But I said, what about your backpack? What about your pants? What about your top? They're made of polyester. I mean, that's a petroleum-based products, okay? So if you really want to do the Camino plastic-free, you should wear cotton, linen, which sticks to you, and it's not pleasant when you sweat, a backpack made of canvas, you know, leather sandals, like basically the pilgrims of up to 200 years ago when there was no plastic. If you really want to do a plastic free Camino, you know, don't come and tell me about my plastic bottle when you wear polyester. You know, I didn't say anything to her, but it's just to make you think how people perceive. We don't realize, but that's a problem. For example, the fibers, the synthetic fibers that are released in the pipes through the washing machines, they're going into the rivers. That's also microplastics. That's also a big problem, you know. So the problem is multiple faces. We don't even have control over that anymore. that's what I gather, you know. And the frustration that I felt when that girl, she basically just knocked down the project because I had a plastic bottle with me. I was like, you're missing the whole point, you know?
It's so fascinating how plastic is just so prevalent in our lives, in every part of our lives. But there is such a big difference between the fact that your cell phone, which you use for 5 years or longer, is made of plastic, but also your chocolate bar wrapper, which you use for 30 seconds and then you throw onto the sidewalk, that's also plastic. And it really is about how we approach plastic in our lives.
Yeah. Like you said, this computer or the mouse or you know, the furniture today, they're synthetics and, you know, fire resistant. Or, I mean, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's like, it's mind blowing.
Outside of struggles, did you have any reflections on the journey or best moments or interesting conclusions that you came to through the journey?
For example, Villa Mayor de Monjardin, for 1 hour, we didn't pick up almost anything, okay? So, and I heard from the locals that there are volunteers, so they go and clean the Camino. So that's also why we didn't want to, you know, go around with a huge bag of plastic and you know, spread the idea, you know, that the Camino is dirty without saying, no, it's not true. That's not the truth, to be honest, okay? But it's just, there is so much plastic. I didn't even want to use the word rubbish in the videos, to be honest. Plastic or other material, just to give it an identity, okay? Because rubbish sounds to be like something disgusting, or, you know, it is material that we produce. And there is like the smaller pieces, we got really trained eyes to identify the smaller pieces, which are the most dangerous, because once they become even smaller, they disappear. You can't pick them up anymore, because you can't see them, you know. So we did deliberately to pick up every single piece of plastic, but not to show how dirty the Camino was, but to show how much plastic there really is that we don't see, because we just take it for granted. It's become like almost a habit, you know? So that was the real message. We just got a little bit concerned when people started twisting things around. The other conclusion Carla reached, is there's too much plastic for two people. That was our message at the end. There is too much plastic for two people in this world, or along the Camino, or wherever, you know. And then the other reflection that we reached, I mentioned before, like carrying this weight, you know, on behalf of everybody. It's everybody's responsibility to carry their own rubbish. You do it around your house, you know. It's the same when you walk along the Camino. I suppose you have to put into account that you're going to have something to carry in your pocket. Usually they're small things. It's too easy to plan a trip, you know, a packed 35 liter backpack of essentials, and then when you have a bit of waste, you know, you throw it away. I believe some might just slip accidentally, because I drop things as well along the way. But there are also products that are, I suppose, unmistakably from the pilgrims, like, you know, the plasters and compede, the peels, and the wipes. But I suppose as long as these were paper, you know, tissues, suppose with time the decay, they compost. But the wipes don't. They are synthetics. They've become very popular. Again, it's a product that I think we got induced to think we need. And, you know, like a shower gel. I use soap bars. I didn't buy into shower gel, for example. And they are really everywhere. That was one of the products. I got organized for my needs if I had needed. I didn't really need it, not to have a small bag like a dog poo bag, you know, and to put your tissues. And then when you can, you emptied it. And that would be one thing. And also, yeah, just like if it's a peel of a plaster, you just put it in your pocket. So I don't understand the reason to leave it around, because it's so light. I suppose everybody has to carry their own weight. So that's the message of the Camino, including the rubbish. That's also my own weight, you know, not to unload it onto the environment and onto the earth carelessly and not thinking what's going to happen to that piece of plastic or aluminium, you know, or other material. It's really a joint effort globally from the people like me and you at, say, lower level, or, you know, the society, and going up to the governments and the people who have the power to decide. It has to be like that. Like, you know, I say everybody is responsible. We're all responsible. And even if that's not the bottle that I dropped, it doesn't matter. Maybe sometime years ago down the line, I dropped another bottle. It's still there. And someone else picked it up. That's what I figured out.
Yeah, that's interesting. So I guess making sure that you're not leaving wipes or things that aren't going to degrade along the track. And even the biodegradable wet wipes, some of them take years and years to decompose. So just pop them in a bag, take them with you. When you are eating a muesli bar, make sure you put the wrapper straight in your pocket so it's not gonna blow away. Or if you're putting on a plaster, put the rubbish straight away into your pocket or into a bag so it doesn't accidentally blow away. And then just hang on to things until you get to a bin. Would you do this again?
Well, I'll tell you, I asked Carla yesterday. She said yes without hesitation. I was surprised. Carla said, like, she's still since the Camino, she still goes around when she goes for walks, and she's around. She still picks up, you know, plastics and so on. Now I don't do as much with this COVID-19 for, you know, more hygienic reasons. But yeah, I'd be the same. But she changed. It had an impact on her more than me, because I was already kind of like on that mindset before. For me, if I do it again, not the same way. I'd say I would plan now max 20 kilometers per day, because I realized this is as much as I can handle comfortably to arrive at any place, like maybe just at 3-4 o'clock, like with the other pilgrims, by walking fewer kilometers. And also, I know there are some people, they do the Camino, you know, more than once. This is my first Camino. I felt like I wanted to enjoy it. I missed out a few things, like going to see the caged hens in the cathedral in Santo Domingo de la Calzada. I missed that. I do the Camino not so much for religious or spiritual reasons, even if I talk about like a spirituality, because it leads you there. But for me, it's more like for the history of, you know, the pilgrimage, the historical places as well. And so I suffered a little bit this time. So if I were to do it again, I could maybe do it on a trail of the Camino that I've already walked, so I don't have to worry about, you know, the new places, or, as I said, you know, also shorten it. Or maybe this time I'll do again for the plastic, we continue from Burgos to León, and then in the future I'll do the same trail but just walking it, you know, normally. Someone in San Juan de Ortega in the monastery there, they told us that the part from León to Compostela is actually even more polluted, dirtier, because that's where loads of people, you know, do the Camino. The last 100 kilometers is more popular. So I'm thinking about it, like, do I really want to do this past León? I don't know. So it was fairly, you know, clean all in all. I want to say that, you know, it's just like, as I said, we wanted to pick up every single piece that we leave in the environment, because that's a mark of our passage, you know, there I suppose, in a way that's going to be non-environmentally friendly.
Thank you so much. That's a really interesting answer, and all of your answers have been very interesting. This has been a great interview. So to all of the people who've joined us watching, thank you so much for joining us. If you enjoyed this video, pop over to Plastic Free Camino on Facebook and Twitter, because there may be another walk at some point in the future you'd like to follow, and you can see all of the videos on there that were published as they went. So give us a like on this video, subscribe to our YouTube channel, head over and follow Plastic Free Camino, and thank you so much.